All right, we want to praise the Lord on this February the 13th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I'll tell you what, my super ain't got a thing to do with the football. My Lord, he's got all authority and all power, and he's got all the say over everything goes on down here and everything goes on up there. I'm glad he does. And I'll never put any attention to anything but Him. All my love, all my affections are upon Him. And we just want to honor Him here today. Beautiful day, a little cold outside. Beautiful day being in the house of the Lord. On this date, 1542, King Edward VIII killed his fifth wife. She hadn't even reached 20 years old yet. But he got a little, I don't know, a little jealous, wanted another wife. I don't know, he'd be editor on this day in 1542. Just to let you know, a lot of things have happened since this day back in history. As much as they'd like to destroy history and rewrite it, the young girl, she practiced while she still had some authority. She requested that the block be brought to her, and she practiced laying her head on it, trying to build up courage. And she said, I want to die as much a Christian as I can. And I don't want to jump. I don't want to move. And anyway, it was inevitable. It wasn't like she had another plan. So come that time and come up and chopped her head off. I don't know, it may come to us. I'm telling you, buddy, we're living in, buddy, these are perilous times. We've been through pandemics, mandates, and I don't know what's around the corner, but I'll tell you right now, they've got something on the back burner fixing to turn loose. I personally believe that rumor, that war over there at Ukraine, I believe that's political. I really do. I'm not really got no dog in there. But I don't believe it's no more than a political theater. I believe it done been a war if it's going to be one. But anyway, we're just going to let that go however. We're in Romans chapter 8. I think we stopped on verse number 18. I drew a line there. I think that's where we stopped at. But I will reread that verse. Paul here writing to the church at Rome. And he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. Lord, it was precious, Father. Days gone by, and the book of Samuel said the Word was precious in those days because there was no open vision. Lord, it's precious today. And Lord, it's worth more than all the gold of the earth. And it's probably the least esteemed thing of the hour we're living in. Oh, that men would give the most earnest heed to it. We're trying ourselves to, Lord, and we're asking for Your help. Open Your words to us today. Lord, show us the great treasures, the great truths, Lord, that it holds. And we'll thank and praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name, for whatever You do, giving You praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Boy, I heard a good song this week. New song by Karen Peck and New River. The name of the song, very inspired song. Name of the song is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Mm-hmm. I always get that mixed up. I don't know if it's the answer is Jesus or Jesus is the answer. But a new song by Karen Peck and New River. A very timely song. I have to admit, boy, it filled my cup. Still been listening to it. But Paul here in the book of Romans, writing to the church of Rome, and he's talking about persecution, talking about suffering. And he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, he said, don't get too caught up with what's going on. Keep your mind and your affection on what's coming. This ain't our home. We're not going to live here. We're just on our way home. We're sojourning on our way home. And I don't know how long it's going to be. I just know I'm going home one day. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe today I'm okay. If that's what calls, I'm ready to go. Me or all of us. I don't care. I'll take either one. I'll tell you right now. But we can, if we're not careful, we'll get distracted with things that don't go our way, with things that are disappointing, with things maybe physical, maybe financial, maybe even, you know, political, whatever. Don't get caught up in it. Keep your mind up there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Keep your mind on things up, not on things down here. There are things that are above where Christ sat at the right hand of the Father. You can get caught up down here and forget you're going to be caught up there. Can you imagine? Oh, I just had a thought. Can you imagine be down here complaining, next thing you know you're in heaven?
That's right.
Man, I'm down. That's about where to be with some, I guess, chronic complainers. But Paul here wrote to the church in Colossia. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And, you know, he kind of saying the same thing here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Now, this is kind of a new territory right here, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. As of April 27th, 1988, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, I believe, says, if any man be of Christ, he's a new creature, and I am. Then the old things have passed away, but they ain't been forgotten, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And, you know, I have to admit, I thank God for that new creature. And verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, that verse says a lot. What it's talking about is I'm saved, but I ain't heaven yet. Mm-hmm. I'm a new creature. And I'm waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm going home one day. I don't know when, just know I'm going. Mm-hmm. I've already made arrangements. I got my ticket. I'm just waiting for my ship to show up. Amen. Right. But verse 19 kind of jumps to a different topic here when he talks about the creature. We're going to be talking about the creature for a few more verses. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Now, I had a void. I was vanity of vanities. I needed help. And the creature was made subject to vanity. I was prey. I fell for every temptation. I just failed miserably. And this made subject to vanity. I wasn't strong. I wasn't able. The devil, boy, he had me on strings. I was no less than a puppet. But not willingly, but I was captive. I had to be set free. And, you know, slaves could be a good word there. But by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. And you know, Jesus came down here and made it like we are, and yet without sin. And we were waiting for our completeness. We're complete in Christ, but I wasn't complete till I got in Christ. But this creature that I was made, subject to vanity, you know, it's kind of like I was made with a problem. Somebody had a tattoo on the arm said, born to lose. My pastor said, yeah, but you can be born again to win. But we do have the need of the Lord.
Yes.
To not only to have success and survive down here, because there's a devil. 5:8 talks about, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I haven't been devoured in a long time. I'm not looking forward to being devoured again. But I have to admit, there's a devil down here and I was no match for him. Verse 20 talks about subject of vanity. I fell for every trick. Paul said he wasn't ignorant of the devil's devices. I was. I fell into buy this. I fell into do this. Smoke this. Drink this. You name it. I never did ever smoke. But I did drink. And I do a lot of things I wished I'd never done. That some of the things I'll never repeat. The Lord knows, and that's all they will know. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now I did go through that. That old man's dead. This new man walking in newness of life, he's that new creature. And I got bought. I got ransomed. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. He paid high dollar. I wasn't worth a dollar. But he paid it anyway. Verse 21 talks about delivered from the bondage of corruption. I had nothing to offer. I had no one to help. I was in worst case scenario. But the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon all of us in mercy, laid His royal garments aside, and took a step down from His throne in heaven to walk down here in the filth and the dirt of this earth to give His life a ransom for lost souls like you and me so that we could be saved. I got set free. That bondage of corruption, I was bound. But I'm free indeed now. I'm telling you, He set me free. And who the Lord sets free, they're free indeed. Now verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Does anybody know how many times this earth has been cursed?
Three times, Hank.
Probably that and 10 more. I'm just telling you, buddy. Well, they're dumping everything into streams. Fish are dying. We're dying. All the pests.
I thought you meant how.
Yeah, but God cursed it. You're right. God cursed it for Adam's sake. Cursed it for Cain's sake.
Right.
Threatened a curse right there at the end of Malachi. But I'm just telling you, this earth, it's had it up to here with the pollution of man. It's had it up here with the problems of man.
Romans.
Y'all know where they take that nuclear waste at?
They dump in the ocean, don't they?
Yeah. Two-thirds of this earth is what?
Yeah.
Water.
Water.
And they're dumping nuclear waste in the ocean.
Yeah.
Guess what? It might be out of the sight of man, but I'm going to tell you right now, that'll come with the price. I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to last. But this whole creation, the biggest problem is man, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, that verse says a whole lot more. We was just talking for Sunday school this morning about the book of Revelation. And I'll be honest with you, you can go as deep as you want to go in the book of Revelation. You won't even,
wow,
make a scratch. No. You won't even make a superficial scratch. I'm just telling you. Revelations go deeper than any of us can go. I know this for a fact. I'm on my 19th time. I read my Bible through. And the Bible's like a big puzzle. The more of it you put together, the more of it you're able to understand. And I just got a faint knowledge myself of the book of Revelation. And it's not like we're going to get a hold of the horn and say, hey, I got it now. That's just not going to happen. I'm just telling you, but it goes over my head.
Yeah.
And anybody else, and I'd be glad to talk the point to anyone that'd be willing to stand long enough to listen to me. They ain't got a prayer one. But we will understand it one day.
Yeah.
Revelation is one of the deepest books I know of in the Bible. And I don't shun it. It's just I can never disclose all the knowledge that's in it.
Right.
We made a kind of a vain attempt there to teach through the book of Revelation. And we're getting ready to go to Genesis after this book of Romans. And Genesis, it's understandable, but there's a lot in Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down every time I listen to a preacher preach this morning. And he was mentioned there in the book of Daniel about that sexual aspect of the Antichrist. He said, I just want to be honest with y'all. He said, I never noticed that before, and I'm like him. I stumbled up on it one day, and I have to admit it caught me just like it caught him. That's what this Bible, it's loaded. And you can't just pick it up. Much study, much prayer, much seeking God for wisdom about it. And still, like I said, we just got faint knowledge.
You're alive now, Brother Ed.
All right, boy. I'm glad I am. Hallelujah. I'm living among the dead, but I'll tell you what. Hey, I'm alive. Glory to God. I've had heresy all week long. I ain't been able to even do anything. I said, Lord, what am I going to do, son? He said, you let me worry about that. I said, okay. Yeah, Lord. Heresy's like having a big knife stuck in your back. Everything you do, it hurts.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling pretty good this morning. Brother Ed said, I'm alive. And I have to admit, I am feeling a little bit of life this morning. But this whole creation. Now, I know we evolved. Big Bang. I know all that. You know, creation. I hate to break the news to you. We are created. Take a deep breath.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, this earth was formed to be inhabited, and God put man on it. I've got gravity. I'm not floating. I've got enough. I'm not dragging. I've got gravity enough to hold myself right here.
Right.
As long as I want to hold, I can even jump up. I've got enough gravity that I can jump a little bit. And some stupids have went up, plumb up out of space. And they still haven't discovered that this is created. God formed the earth. He formed it to be inhabited. He made the very first man out of the dirt of the ground, the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And man just can't understand that. I feel sorry for him. I'm glad, praise God, I'm going with the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 23. And not only they, and I'm glad I'm not one of them no more,
that's right,
but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. Boy, that helped me right there. Yeah. That helped me. Boy, y'all listen to what this verse is saying. Me and Brother Ed was trying to have a talk about the dead rising first.
Mm-hmm.
And we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air when He comes.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's been a generation of people that have died looking for the Lord to come.
Right.
Praise God, I was born after He already came.
Yeah.
Man, I got born again because He did come, and I have that Spirit of God in me right now. But the Bible, I just thought about this as I'm sitting here teaching this. Okay. There's some didn't get that, and they had more faith than I got.
Yeah, that's right.
It says here in Hebrews chapter number 11, where would I start right here? I'll start with verse 32. What shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon's, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better... I got y'all's attention, Anna. A better
resurrection.
Yeah. Did y'all get that? Today is going to rise first, body. Did you get that?
Yeah.
That just came to me up here. I thank God for it too. They're wanting a better resurrection.
Right.
Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, Listen to this. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts. We're going to be soon to that, presume.
Yeah.
Y'all know where the biggest Christian persecution is right now today? Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're hiding. The Taliban is killing them like dogs. They're literally running for their life. But we got the troops out. Let me let y'all in on a little clue right here. I'm glad we are alive. I'm old enough to remember when a president of this United States of America bowed the knee to a Muslim Saudi king and kissed his ring.
I remember that.
Those are Muslims that are killing these Christians. How did they do that? Somebody took the troops out. Not very efficiently, neither. Okay. They wandered about in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. This is the most important verse. If you ain't listening to nothing, listen to this. All these ones that we've been reading about. Having obtained a good report. I got a better one. My report is, praise God, I've been born again. I got Christ in me.
Yes.
Right now. Somebody said, hey, you know there's a God. Hey, He lives right here.
Amen. That's right.
Having a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. I'm glad I got in on it too, buddy. That they without us should not be made perfect. I got made perfect.
Yeah.
He made the captain of my salvation perfect.
Yes, He did.
Through suffering. If they find fault in Him, then I've got a problem. But they can't find one, so I'm good to go. Because He is my salvation. Jonah, if he didn't get nothing else right, he got this right. Salvation's of the Lord. Okay, now I told you that just kind of caught me right there. Let me get back where I was here. Here we go, verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the... What's that next word?
Spirit.
Yep.
Spirit, yeah.
Now, if any man have not the of Christ, the what? Spirit.
Spirit.
If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
That's right.
The Spirit, verse 16 of this chapter, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a chapter. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that's seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for it? You see, we're saved by faith.
Right.
And our hope is it's an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast. It's not like that we struggle with hope. Man, we've got the blessed hope. We've got the living hope. We've got it in Him.
Right.
Verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We got help all the way around.
Amen.
Man, even my prayer life gets help. I don't know about y'all, but I do pray a lot. And that's not a boastful statement. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, He would that all men everywhere might pray and faint not, but all we ever do is faint, seldom ever pray. But if you're going to do nothing else, at least get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank You for a good night's sleep. Thank You for another day. Forgive me my sins, my failures. Help me this day to be a blessing, not a burden to your heart. Hey, pray a little. You don't have to pray a lot. You don't have to pray for hours. I usually pray about 45 minutes. You can about set your watch by it. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes I'll be honest with you, buddy, I not only need prayer from Him, but I need help from Him just so I can pray accordingly. I don't like to pray amiss. I don't like to ask something that I really shouldn't ask. I'm asking to consume it upon my lust, Lord. I sure would like to have a new Cadillac out there in the driveway. You know, that'd be praying amiss.
Yeah.
That would be covetous. I pulled out of the parking lot this week at the Houchins, and when I turned right, I don't know if it's a motor mount or what, but a car. I'm going to have to look into it and see exactly what it is. I haven't exactly found out what it is yet, but it's got something in there, a bit wobbling shaft or something. I don't know what the heck, but I will. I ain't had time to research it, but I will find out what it is. It's got something going on. Verse 28, and we know, I hope we do. If you don't, you should. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I do love Him. He loves me.
Amen.
And that's one reason that things work together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, God's got somebody wrote a book called A Purpose Driven Life. God has a purpose for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know where the greatest revival is taking place right now? Right now, the greatest revival ever has been. You know where it's taking place right now? Anybody got a clue? Africa. Africa. Right now, there's billions of people in Africa right now turning to the Lord. Now, Jesus said, who loved me the most, He's been forgiven of much, He's been forgiven a little. And Peter said, I suppose He's been forgiven of much. Okay, that is a real good motivation for loving the Lord. You've been forgiven a lot. You love a lot. But look here. I've got a Bible. They don't have one in Africa.
That's right.
I got pretty nice clothes on. They might even have a loin cloth, or maybe not even that in Africa. So we kind of take God for granted in America because we got so much sufficiency.
Right.
Buy a check.
A lot, but everybody still complains.
I'm kind of going there. But you see here in America, we're gospel saturated. Now, I agree we need to kind of build up the bulwarks. We've got a little living in. I'll commend this church. This is a good church. It might be small, but it's solid. It's solid. And I thank God for that. And a lot of churches, they don't care.
No.
I mean, it just irritating about all that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But in Africa, man, not only is the Word of God precious, but He's precious. They ain't got nothing.
Right.
And somebody tells them, somebody loves them, they say, you mean tell me somebody loves me? And they say, yeah, His name's Jesus. Mm-hmm. They say, well, I want to hear about this Jesus. I was able to tell this in the preaching today, but it'll fit real good right here, and it won't hurt a thing to tell it right now. But I heard on the radio this week, there was a missionary, and he had a young boy he was training, and they was going to another village, he was in Africa, to try to, reach that village, you know, to teach and preach and try to school them a little bit in the things of God. And he got ready to leave, and had a good wife. You know how good wives are, Jerry. She told him, they ride bicycles in Africa. She said, take a flashlight with you. He said, oh, we ain't going to need no flashlight. We'll be back home way before it gets dark. She said, well, I heard it might rain. He said, we're used to the rain. So anyway, Vonnie, they went over to that village over and had tremendous success. They're on their way back, and there's snakes, hyenas, and everywhere where they're at. On their way back, it did rain, and it made their bicycle slower because of the mud and everything. They just trudging along, didn't mind it a bit. And they got up this little creek, Brother Donnie, that they crossed on them bicycles on the way over, and it ain't a little creek no more, it's a roaring river. And it's not only raining, but it's getting dark. And the young boy asked the missionary, he said, what are we going to do? We ain't got enough light to see to go back. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, we're going to pray. And he bowed his head. He said, Lord, I don't know, I like his prayer. He said, Lord, would you lighten the way for us? And about that time, it started lightening. And it lightened so much, they didn't need no help. They could see all the way back. But you know what? They asked for light, and God said, no problem. He just flipped the lights with the hell that, boys.
That's right.
But you know what? We kind of take that for granted, but they didn't take it for granted after. Yeah. They said, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
They made it back. They spent the night in the village that they went to, and when the waters receded, they come back home. Then he told his wife, he said, I wish I'd listened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a story most husbands need to learn how to say. I wish I'd listened to you.
That's right.
But anyway, I'll turn the page. Evidently, here we go. See where I was. Let's get a lesson this morning. I got a lot of liberty, I can tell you that.
Bless.
He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I think we were in verse 28, talking about according to his purpose. Now, verse 29, this is going to rock your boat a little bit. It rocks a lot of people's boat. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, a lot of people take this verse and try to teach predestination. I have this verse right here. And you can kind of see how they do that. But before you think about predestination, just look at more than this one verse. I mean, just go to something like, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. We'll read verse 3. Well, let's just read down to verse 4. I exhort therefore first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for how many? All men.
Mm-hmm.
For kings, for all that are in authority. I do struggle to pray for our
leaders.
Yeah. I'm choking on the word. I still pray for them. I pray God will expose them, show how wicked they truly are.
That's right.
But anyway, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all goodliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, when you get to thinking about that verse pointing towards predestination, I want you to know God wants everyone to be saved.
That's right.
You can go again to Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. Went the wrong way there. Acts 17, verse 30. And you hear, in times of this ignorance, God winked it, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So I just want you to get all muddied up with that word predestinate. To be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants everybody to be saved. I'm just telling you right now, this ain't no select few. It's not 144,000 like the Jehovah's Witness somehow think they're the only ones going to heaven. And I know where they get that from. But they just need to read that next verse. Now they get this out of Revelation chapter 7. And it's 12,000 of the 12 tribes right. of the children of Israel, and it's 144,000. Yeah. And they say, you know, that's us. We're the 144,000. You see that in verse number 4, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. But when you read verse number 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and peoples, and tongues, and stood before the throne for the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation our God, sitteth upon the throne, to the Lamb. Now, let me get it straight now. I'll tell you what, you're going to get to heaven, you ain't going to get it straight now. I'll tell you right now. But this predestination, it's not a select few. It's not 144,000. It's not, you know, we're the only church. You know, we got some people believe they're the only church going to heaven. God help them with that. I'm telling you, God loved the church, gave himself for it, and it ain't got no name on it. I'm telling you right now, you better have the name Jesus on you, I'll tell you that right now. The Lord knows them that are his, and those that are his, the ones he's coming for, we're leaving out when he does come. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. You know, he called us to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Bible tells us in simple terms that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that word whosoever needs to be there, mm-hmm. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then you go to Romans here, chapter 10, verse 13. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It's to the whosoever. It's not a predestination thing, but it is the will of God for all to be saved. Even 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody saved. And he wants us to be like his Son.
Yeah.
Whom he called, them he also justified. I am justified.
Right.
Some may get a doctrine called justification. And you know what? Paul, he had a little bit of that. He's a Pharisee. But he threw it all away for Jesus. He said, finding in him, not having my own righteous, which is after the law, but the righteous, which is in Christ. Let me see if I can find that real quick in Philippians here. There's a lot of stuff being preached today that ain't necessarily Bible, if you know what I mean. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and you know, he just gave his pedigree up here, and I mean, he had it. I mean, trust in the flesh. He circumcised the eighth day of stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. And what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'll just tell you right now, he threw it all away for Christ. Let me see where I was now. We're in verse 30. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, I've not been glorified, but I have been justified.
Mm-hmm.
My next step, Vine, is glorification.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to have a glorified body just like him. The Bible says we know when we see him, we'll be like he is.
Amen.
But we'll see him as he is.
Right.
He's got a glorified body.
Right.
And the disciples got to see him, that glorified body. They got to see him ascend up into heaven, that glorified body. And praise God, when I get my glorified body, hallelujah, that'll be my last step. I'll be glorified from here on. Verse 31, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to tell you who can be against you. You can. I'm my biggest enemy.
Right.
Sometimes I don't feel like reading my Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes I don't feel like praying. Sometimes I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like witnessing. Sometimes I just want to sit there and have a pity party.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about the only one who can be against me is me.
That's
right. I shouldn't even have a say in the matter. Oh my! Who can be against us? Me. Verse 32. He that spared not his own Son. God gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
I want you to get this now.
Amen.
He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us.
Yes.
For us all. Christ died for all.
Right.
All may not get saved. But all can be saved because of the sacrifice and the suffering of God's Son, Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, nothing else would work. There was no other way. In the mind of God and in the plans of God, one day Jesus will be born in the fullness of time. And you know, if he was born in our day, he went through the same gauntlet that he run in his day. They wouldn't receive him. They wouldn't believe him. No matter what he did, they wouldn't. But, the Lord, he delivered him up. God delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You're not needing nothing. Go to Africa. Go to Africa where they're receiving the word of God with gladness right now. Revival like we'll never see over here.
Right.
And then you'll realize just how blessed you are.
Mm-hmm.
You got a thermostat. You got windows. You got a roof. You got something to eat. You got a car. Most likely you got one of them buttons on it. You know, you can push it. You know, I lost mine. I got me another. Like, never got it programmed. But you can push it, and the light's flickering, the door unlocks. See, we're just spoiled rotten, Sharon.
Yep.
We've got so much. He's freely given us all things. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Now, that's really clear in Romans chapter 3. I'm not going to go too much further. There's not a lot of people here. I don't guess we've got to worry about being too confirmed to our schedule here. But in Romans chapter 3, God says here, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and He is just.
Yes, He is.
Amen. And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, He's the one who justifies old Brother Eddie. Got the best lawyer.
Jackie.
Woo! I've got the best lawyer. Money couldn't afford the lawyer I got. Amen. He's free.
Right.
But who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I've got a devil down here. And you know what? He'd give anything to bring a case against me, but he's got to get through Jesus to get to me. He can't find nowhere around Jesus. Y'all may not get that, but I'll tell you right now, I'm about as safe can be. I'll tell you, if he's got to get through Jesus to get to me, that means he's got to get permission. And the Lord, if he does, he'll do me like he did Job. He'll get me through it. I'm telling you, you see the patience of Job, but you also see the protection of God. If the devil had out there, he'd kill Job in a heartbeat. But you see the protection of God. Job not only made it through it, but he had twice as much of heaven again. All right, this will be our last verse here. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's almost fixed.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I'm in good hands. Brother Ed talking about it in like this air. That's the way I am. Amen. I'm
right.
As safe as a bug in the rug, as snug as a bug in the rug. I'm telling you, buddy, we got it all in Jesus. Amen.
All
right, we'll stop right there. I was aiming to try to finish this chapter out, but evidently it ain't going to work out. We'll get it in the next one.
Yes.
But hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm so glad I got a Bible.
Yeah.
We got in at a good time to get in, if you know what I mean. Ain't no better time than the age we're living in. Age of grace, the best time ever to get in. Hallelujah. All right.